pray. Christ Jesus, you hung on a cross and you died for us so that we might live for you. Your body was broken and your blood shed so that we might be healed and made whole. You were faithful unto death so that we might be faithful unto life. And your last command was that we might love one another, one family together from every tribe and nation. A new creation, united through your sacrifice, redeemed by your blood, healed by your love, united by your covenant of peace. In your death, may we find life. For Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Amen. We need to take Easter seriously, in spite of the rabbit thing. Okay, we need to take Easter seriously. So let's start with a game. All right, you've got on your chairs, if anyone hasn't got a bit of paper with 9 words on it, can you wave your arm and Paul will come and give you a sheet. That's good. So anyone, I saw a hand go at the back there. Brilliant. Anyone else not got one? Brilliant. Okay, over the next 5 minutes or so, we're going to play Easter word bingo. And every time I say one of the words that's on your piece of paper, then you can cross it out with a pen. If you haven't got a pen, put it up. Oh, there's some people without pens on the back row. So we need to only start when they've got pens, because I don't want anyone to be disadvantaged. Okay, does everyone have a pen and a piece of paper now? Brilliant. Okay. Shall we have it quiet? Because I need to explain the rules. As I said, when I say one of the words that's on there, you can cross it out. When you get all 9, I want you to shout out, to stand up if you're able, and to shout out, "He is risen." Okay, so when you've got all 9, if you're the person who's got it, shout out, "He is risen." If you're really, really shy, get the person next to you to stand up and shout out, "He is risen." And be confident in your win. All right, stand up, shout it out, even if I'm still speaking. I might not normally take too kindly if you stand up and go, "Lynn's," in the middle of me speaking. But please feel free to do so for this part of today. Okay, so if we have a practice, if you've got all 9, shout out, "He is risen." You don't have to stand up for this bit. Okay, practice. 3, 2, 1. "He is risen." Excellent. All right, from now on, if I say one of the words, you can cross it out and try and be the first to get all 9. Who this morning has already eaten some chocolate? Anyone got a chocolate egg to open later today? Who came to Messy Church last week and hunted Easter eggs? Anyone come to Easter? Yeah, hunted Easter eggs. Who came to Open Door last week, for the last couple of weeks, and did amazing crafts involving Easter eggs? Who came to the church as part of a school visit? It's been amazing to see so many people at the church over the past couple of weeks. We've sung some songs, we've made some crafts, lit a lot of candles and put them out, and we thought a lot about the cross and what Easter means to Christians, and lots more. And I was through all of the Easter cards in Asda the other day to find some to send to my family, but most of them contained pictures of teddy bears or flowers or bunnies or eggs, all relating to new life. But not many of them had anything particularly Christian on them. Anyone on bingo yet? Oh, okay. There's so much going on in church around Easter. We started way back at the beginning of Lent with a pancake party. Who remembers the pancake party? Yeah. And that was the day before Ash Wednesday, which was also the day of our last church meeting. Who went to that? Some of us will have given up things for Lent. Others have taken up things to do, acts of kindness, for example. We then had Palm Sunday, when we all waved palm leaves, and we wished that we could find a real donkey to use during the Bible story that morning. Anyone on bingo yet? During this past week, Holy Week, we thought about what it might mean to journey to Calvary in our daily devotions. In our Tenebrae service on Maundy Thursday, we heard lots of readings from lots of different people, including a reading about the Last Supper where the disciples had their feet washed and we shared a communion with... Can I have a look at your sheet? I don't think you've got all nine. I don't think so. But I'll give you a present later just in case for the audacity to speak up. Then on Good Friday, some of us did a walk of witness and ended up at the bandstand gathered around the cross. Some of us also went to Chelmsford to watch the Passion play. What must the disciples have been thinking as they saw the events unfolding? What were the crowd thinking? What were the soldiers thinking? And then on Easter Sunday morning, wow! People went to the tomb, but the body was not there. And the stone had been washed away. No, rolled away. New version of Easter. Can you imagine the shock of the disciples when they find out? The big question. Would you have believed or would you have been like Thomas, who at first doubted, but then believed once he'd seen the evidence with his own eyes? So much to think about at Easter, isn't there? And then there's the roast lunch, and maybe the relatives to see as well. And yet, we often forget the most important person. Jesus! He is risen indeed! And cut. It doesn't work. It works with children. I might at the end of the service have a little prize for everyone who won that. Chocolate, the cross, Easter, bunnies, Lent, palm, donkey, disciples, church, stone, Thomas, and eggs, flowers, Holy Week, Ash Wednesday, teddy bear. We can fill up Easter with so much stuff. And sometimes really good stuff that helps draw us closer to God. We have to remember Jesus in it all. We need to remember what the Easter message is all really about. And think about the difference that Jesus is actually going to make in each of our lives. Be honest. Where does Jesus fit in your life? Is it a case of I'll go to church because it's Easter Day and I probably ought to kind of do something Jesus-y? Is it because someone you know brought you? Is it because you want to find out more about Jesus, because you want to know him? And you want the life-giving message of Easter to make some sort of difference in your life? Because every day on earth has been given by the King. So will we give our lives, our all, to love and to follow him? You decide. The year was 1829. The place was Pennsylvania. George Wilson and James Porter, well-known mail carriage robbers, were finally captured after endangering a man's life. Both men were brought to trial, found guilty, and sentenced to be hanged. Porter was hanged on July the 2nd, 1830. But Wilson had friends in high places who took action on his behalf. They got the attention of then President Andrew Jackson, who granted Wilson a pardon just 3 weeks before his execution date. How would you feel if you'd been sentenced to be hanged and then were granted a pardon? How would it make you feel? How would it make you feel if you were granted a pardon? Relieved. Any other comments? God, you're quiet this morning. Happy. Yeah. Thankful. Absolutely. I'm glad somebody's happy and thankful and relieved. Do you know that George Wilson refused it? The authorities, they didn't know what to do. How could they hang a man when he'd been granted a full presidential pardon? And the matter was taken to the Supreme Court. And Chief Justice John Marshall stated in court that a pardon is an act of grace. He said that when a pardon has been delivered to someone, that delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered. And if it were rejected, then there was no power in a court to force it on him. And so George Wilson was hanged later that year, even though an act of grace had been offered him by way of a full pardon. We've all stuffed up. We've all sinned. We're all guilty. We've all missed the mark. Wrong life. And each of us deserves to be condemned, separated for all eternity from a holy God. But God himself has signed our pardon. A pardon bought by God himself, God the Son, Jesus Christ, who took action on our behalf at the cross at Calvary. You have been offered a full pardon. How does that make you feel? Pretty good. You no longer need to pay the price for your sin, because the perfect sinless man, Jesus, bought Joyce's pardon with his life. And I hope everyone else's. Well, he did. He bought everyone's pardon with his life. Joyce isn't going to refuse the offer.
Are you going to refuse the offer? Like George Wilson refused his. Because God in his love and mercy has offered every one of us a full pardon for sin through the work of Christ on the cross. We must, however, choose to receive this gift. Delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may be rejected by the person to whom it has been tendered. And if it is rejected, then no power in heaven can force it upon him or her. Have you chosen to receive this gift? On the back of the Easter devotions, there was a poem that I wrote. It can actually be said as a rap, but if you say it as a rap, it's so quick, you might not have the chance to take it in. If anyone ever wants to come up here and do it as a rap, you'd be welcome. But let me just read it to you. The Word gave up his majesty to show us true humility, to dwell amongst humanity and die upon a tree. His death that seemed a tragedy, it broke the chains and set me free. He took the blame instead of me. With what can I repay? Buried to bring new creation, rising to grant full salvation, binding he that brings temptation, trampling death and hell. My heart cries out in jubilation to Christ who is my vindication, to Christ who's made my reparation. There's nothing left to pay. Amen. Nothing left to pay because we've been offered a full pardon. Will you accept it? Mick has chosen to accept it, to receive the full pardon. And he's going to be making a very public declaration of that today. Mick has chosen life, not death. And I find that very exciting. It's exciting, isn't it? Yes. And we're going to move into the baptism part of the service now. It's all right, I can see Jim itching to get up now in a minute. Baptism is an acted out drama of being born, of being washed, of being buried, of being raised, and of being immersed in the Holy Spirit. It's also an act of obedience that Jesus commanded us to do. And I want us, before the baptism, to think very briefly about each one of those things. Being born. When we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we are born again. And this time we're not born of the flesh, but we're born of the Spirit. We've left our previous life and we cannot return to it. Just as a newborn baby can't return to its mother's womb once it's been born. And believers, baptism is a sign of the new birth that's already taken place in our lives and a sign of the new life that I'm really excited to say has taken place in Mick's life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Hallelujah. Being washed. Baptism symbolizes the washing away of our sins, the being made clean from the polluting effects of sin and shame and the things that spoil or get in the way of our relationship with God. And brothers and sisters, we can be confident of this cleansing because of what Christ did for us. Because when he died for us on the cross, he took all our guilt and shame, dealing with it forever. So that if we turn to him, we can experience a full pardon, a new birth, a new life through the cleansing, healing power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, being buried and raised. Slightly more demanding imagery, perhaps, is being laid in a grave. But baptism by total immersion captures the image of burial really well, I think. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4 says, believers are baptized into the death of Christ. To be baptized means to have the old life put to death, to be crucified with Christ. Sounds a bit painful. And you know, I don't think baptism is meant to be undertaken lightly. Baptism symbolizes death to the old ways of living and death to the parts of ourselves that cling to the old ways of living. And to go back to the new birth analogy, baptism is when we let God cut our umbilical cord with our previous nature. And this death, this burial, is part of the power of baptism. Because this burial is accompanied by a joyful resurrection, symbolized by coming back up out of the water. And I promise Mick that we are going to bring him back up out of the water. And so we're buried with him by baptism in death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might live in the power of the resurrection through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Brings us to the fourth one. Being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Water in the Bible is often used to denote the Holy Spirit. And the word baptism actually means to plunge. So when we plunge Mick into the water, it's intended to signify the plunging into the realm of the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes his full immersion into the Holy Spirit's regenerating, sanctifying influence and his empowerment for service in the kingdom of God. And today it's my prayer that Mick would know a greater leading, a special anointing, and a fuller immersion in the presence of the Holy Spirit, even as he is plunged into the waters of baptism. Future, Mick. Don't know what the future holds for you, but excited to see what God is up to in your life. But in the future, Mick will always have this moment to look back on, to reassure himself of his own standing before God, because we all feel a bit flaky sometimes, let's be honest. However Mick may feel about himself, he can always know that he's been marked out by baptism as a disciple of Christ, marked with the seal of God as one whom God will own because Mick has owned him. No matter how you feel about yourself, you can look back on. And finally, I want to say that although baptism is thoroughly symbolic, you've just seen how symbolic it is, I believe it's much more than that. The theologian George Beasley Murray described baptism as a trysting place of the sinner with the Saviour. Whilst God is able to meet us at any time, any place, he has promised that he will meet with us at certain places because of our obedience. And baptism is such a time. And South Woodham Evangelical Church on the 27th of March 2016 is such a place. So today we should be expectant that God will meet with Mick. We should be expectant as a community of God's people, as we act out this drama, that God will also play his part and will meet with our brother in the waters of baptism. and will minister his amazing grace to Mick and to us too. Amen. I'm going to say a few words about baptism, and then Mick is going to tell us a little bit about his story. So this is the slightly formal bit. Following his resurrection, Jesus commanded his disciples to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In obedience to Christ and in joyful thanks for God's redeeming love, we gather to baptize Mick, whom the Spirit has led to repentance and faith. Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, and still disciples are called to follow him through the waters of baptism, to be buried and raised in union with him. So here is the grace of God. Washed free of sin, disciples of Jesus are immersed into all that God has done in Christ and that he promises to do through his Spirit. One Spirit, we are baptized into one body, patterned after the likeness of our Lord Jesus and anointed for his service. Mick.
How Jesus has become an important part of my life, I have to explain how my life has evolved. I guess I was raised in a Christian family, where I was sent to Sunday school with my little sister. But we both gave up going as soon as we could. When I was 21 and my wife was 19, we were married at St. Augustus Church, Slade Green, and we thought ourselves good people. For we sometimes went to church on special occasions and holy days. We always used to the excuse we didn't have enough time to do it any more often. And anyway, isn't being Christian being nice to people? So we never explored how Jesus could fit into our lives, thinking we were in control. Our marriage was not always perfect, but it was loving. And we both had our role to play. Jane stayed at home and brought up our four wonderful sons with the occasional help of a slipper. And I ducked out to work. And our time together was evenings, weekends and holidays. And we always did this as a family. For 42 years, 9 days and 15 and a half hours, my beloved was taken from me after losing our fight with her cancer, which started in the late 1990s. In that time, we had good times, we had bad, but there was always something missing. Something about that period of my life, I now realised it was the Lord Jesus. And he was following us, waiting for us to open the door and let us in. To prove this, we had two episodes that were similar to the prodigal son. The first was when I had not spoken to my mum for about 20 years. And then we contacted each other and were reconciled with our differences while my parents were in Australia after coming over from, in England after coming over from Australia. We made up. And unfortunately, my mum passed away 1 week later. And a second was when my second boy went missing for a few months. And even though we looked for him, we could not find him. But the joy we both felt when he knocked on the door out of the blue and asked us if he was welcome home. We both hugged him and took him. No questions asked. Just glad to have him back in the family. And having the family back together again. I strongly believe now that Jesus was there knocking at my door, but I was too deaf to hear him. After my wife passed away, I felt lost and very lonely. I put up a front and everyone commented on how well I was doing. They did not know that about the online dating and where I found comfort on Friday night to find what I thought was solace or late night driving. Only the wife of my next door neighbour noticed me going out late. Did she tell me off? It was what I needed. And after that, I started to change. I met with my neighbour every week and we would talk about Jesus. One day, looking for a book to read on my iPad, I found the eye for reading the Bible in a year. And I thought that would be a good thing to start doing my daily readings. And having to read it, I've read it every day since. When I could catch my neighbour, we would talk about what I read. And I learned how the whole Testament foretold the new. And that Jesus died on a cross for me. And I needed to repent my sins. I decided that perhaps I should think about looking for a church and to go and take my life and my newfound belief forward. Rightly or wrongly, wondering if the service times would fit into my schedules, not knowing that the Lord was moving me in his direction, I'm not sure why, but I drove past this church and thought about checking the times of the services. I could only be divine intervention. I started to feel more confident and in control. At home, I started to organise my life more. Since I've been coming to this church, I feel that I have found the missing piece in my life's jigsaw, and that is Jesus. Blessings are showering over me from our Lord as he sees me safe and protects me and allows me to think about my life and the person I've become. Each morning and evening, I thank the Lord for his help and guidance, for the people he used to bring me to him, for my family. I pray for my beautiful lady, and I thank the Lord who brought us and my wife together for those 40 years. As I said, it was not always perfect, but it was an amazing blessing. Am I worthy of his forgiveness? I do not think so. I can only yield to his power and mercy. I hope one day I will meet him, after I get past my wife, that is, who I'm sure will have a big book in front of her listing all the things I should have done or did not do right. And then perhaps I will get through the pearly gates. If I'm lucky enough to meet with our Lord Jesus, I will drop to my knees and praise him and thank him for making my life complete. I'm not sure what destiny he has in for me. I'm just waiting patiently for his guidance and hope the light shines on the path he's going to lead me. Amen.
Stay there a sec. This gentleman is going to get to meet the Lord Jesus. I don't think there's any I hope about it. What you may not know is that when he was driving past that time, he had the courage to come into the building. It was on a Saturday morning. There were some of us preparing something for Messy Church, and he walked in, and I was in really scruffy gear because we were making a TARDIS, a life-size TARDIS, and we were covered in blue paint. And this guy walks in and says, "Can anyone talk to me about Jesus?" And you just think, whoa. And then we went out into the kitchen, made him a cup of tea, and he says, "Do you do an Alpha course?" And I said, "Well, as of now we do, yes." So we have an Alpha course that's starting on the 20th of April. So if anyone wants to find out more about Jesus, we've got the Alpha course. And actually, it's Mick who's kind of... Mickey's going to be going to that. He knows a lot of the stuff. That's great. That's not a problem. But actually, just to firm up bits and pieces, but also for anyone who wants to come to that or knows anyone who might, 20th of April. So thank you for saying that, Mick, because others may already be blessed because you had the courage to ask that question. Painting a TARDIS, goodness knows. But let me pray for you. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was baptized in the River Jordan
and pass through the deep waters of death. We praise you that you raised him to life and exalted him. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that this baptism may be for your servant Mick, a union with Christ in his death and resurrection, so that as Christ was raised from death through the glory of the Father, Mick also might be raised to newness of life. Pour out your Spirit and anoint him for service, that he may grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Friends, today we've heard of the work of God in the life of Mick, who is to be baptized. And he's here because, as he said, Jesus Christ has found him. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, he's discovered new life in Jesus. And the love of God has become very real to him. The call of Christ has beckoned him and is still beckoning him on further. And the life of the Spirit has and is renewing him.
Mick, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
That's good. Do you renounce evil and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Will you live within the fellowship of the church and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
With the Spirit's help, I will.
Then it is our pleasure to baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
There's a time now, if anyone wants to bring a reading, a prayer, or any words that they think might speak helpfully into Mick's life and into the church's life at this time. If you do have something, pop up your hands, and is there a roving mic? And wait for a microphone to come to you. Others might not want to speak out, but would be happier writing something down. That's a good thing to do, I think, even if you do speak out, because I know from my baptism day, I don't remember a lot of what people said. It was just so amazing. So it's good to have those things written down. So if anyone has anything they want to say or a reading they want to share, please, please pop up your hand. Yeah, Francis. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Francis. Francis was sharing, if you couldn't hear, that she also has had the experience of loss in her life and that she knows how Mick can feel and wants to walk alongside Mick as, you know, in his faith journey through that. Thanks, Francis.
Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That's the second time that's come up for you, Mick, so you need to listen to that one.
Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good, who those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Go on, but you will always have Jesus to look to, and Jesus will always be there.
Amen.
Mick, Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
Mick, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
I'd like to say to Mick, I said to Nick, you never walk alone. I'll give him for that to see you again.
Thank you. As I say, if there's anything else, if people would like to write those down, if you've actually read out a scripture, or it would be lovely, or some words that you've shared, it would be lovely if you could write those down so that we can put those together for Mick so that he remembers them beyond today. But when Christ demonstrated his victory at the cross over the powers of sin and death and hell, he not only guaranteed the future inheritance of individual believers like Mick, like me, and like you, but he also guaranteed the future coming of his kingdom in all its fullness when he will make all things new. And we live in between those in-between times. You know, the kingdom of God has come in Christ, but it's not yet come in all its fullness. The victory has been won. There is a new king in charge, but people are not yet living fully under the rule and reign of Christ, King Jesus. And until he comes and makes all things new, our primary role as a community of God's people is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, making this world as much like the kingdom as we can by bringing his values, being his witnesses, his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece, everywhere we go. And that means listening to God. It means being equipped and ready to respond in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to mean being a community of disciples who take up their cross daily and follow him. And for that reason, I want to give us a chance before the end of the service to renew our own baptismal vows before God. I'm going to ask everyone in a moment to stand if you're able. And if you've not been baptized before, you may still feel able to say the responses. And if that's you, I'd urge you to consider thinking about the baptism in the future. We're likely to be having some probably in the autumn. If you have been dunked as a believer before, it's a really positive thing to affirm your vows from time to time, to renew them. And the questions and responses will be the same for us as they were for Mick, except, of course, you're not all going to get wet. That would just take a long time, and you get baptized once. So if you would like to, please read the words in red out loud in response to my questions. But if we all stand up so nobody feels kind of excluded. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you renounce evil and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Will you live within the fellowship of the church? And will you serve Jesus Christ in the world? With the Spirit's help, I will. Then may God, who has given you the desire to follow Christ, give you the strength to continue in his way. The sun rose,
Death was defeated, hope was restored, our debt was paid, our sins forgiven, new life has come. Amen. Because he lives, we can have forgiveness, freedom, hope, life. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. If you'd like to know more about being baptized as a believer, or you'd like to be baptized, come and have a chat with me, with one of the other leaders, or with someone else you feel comfortable having a talk to, or even with Mick. We'd love to talk you through it. And we'll probably, as I said, be having some more baptisms in the autumn. So if you're thinking of getting baptized or you want to know what it's all about, come and have a chat. Also mentioned the Alpha course, March the 20th start on Wednesdays. April the 20th, sorry. Yeah, that would be worrying, wouldn't it? April the 20th start. And I have here, I'm going to need some helpers here to give these out, but in a minute. Every person here won Easter bingo, didn't they? Everyone won Easter bingo, apart from Paul who cheated, but never mind. So I've got a present for everyone here. It's a gold chocolate coin, and it says Happy Easter on it. And I want you, when you eat that coin and when you unwrap it, to think about what it cost the Father, what it cost God the Father, what it cost God the Son to offer you a pardon. And it costs more than his time signing a note. It costs more than just one coin. It actually cost his life. Think about that when you unwrap it. And if you've accepted his offer, ask God to help you follow him. Why wouldn't you?